If that doesn't give you some joy, you can just leave right now. Grace, mercy, and God's peace to each of you today from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. That's beautiful, isn't it? Oh, gosh. Just busy people going about their busy lives. Just a normal day. And people in that plaza, some of them got in a fight with a family member or a friend earlier that morning. You know, there were people on that plaza who stayed up late the night before crying over the choices their children have made. There were people walking around that day who are filled with anxiety and fear about the choices that their government is or isn't making on their behalf. And then beauty breaks in. And that inbreaking of beauty, it doesn't necessarily fix whatever it was that they were fretting about in that moment. But nonetheless, they are caught up in an embrace. They were caught up in an embrace of beauty and of love. A single stringed instrument, was that a cello or a bass? I don't know. A single stringed instrument begins to play the fourth movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. And slowly but surely, other instruments get added to it. People walking by pause to take in the beauty of that moment. They're simply there, and they passively receive a gift that someone else is graciously giving to them. And in that moment, their individual and ordinary lives are pulled together into this communal experience of something sacred. And more instruments join the mix. Voices are added to the strings and the brass and the wind and the percussion. And then in walks the symphonic conductor in his street clothes. And he transforms that very ordinary plaza into this most holy and beautiful moment. There on the streets of Barcelona, Spain, back in 2012, crowds of people were singing in German the words of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony that he finished way back in 1824. And that fourth movement, Ode to Joy, the words of that fourth movement weren't original to Beethoven. Beethoven borrowed words of a poem that was written by Friedrich Schiller back in 1785. And Schiller's poem, which has been immortalized by Beethoven's symphony, those words in that poem, they're words that are grand in their scale. Schiller composed a poem and Beethoven put it to music in words that speak to humanity, that words that address all of mankind. And the final couple stanzas of that poem and that movement, it says this in English. It says, "Gladly as his heavenly bodies fly on their courses through the heavens, thus, brothers, you should run your race, joyful, like a hero going to conquest. You millions, I embrace you. This kiss is for all the world. Brothers, above the starry canopy, there must dwell a loving father. Do you fall in worship, you millions? World, do you know your Creator? Seek Him in the heavens. Above the stars must He dwell." It says, this kiss is for all the world. This love, this invigorating gift of life, this kiss is for all the world. This loving embrace which sends us out to run and to skip. This joy-filled moment which sends us out like conquerors going to battle. come what may, this kiss is for all the world. This loving embrace by the one who populated the canopy above with his starry host, the Creator, the one who inhabits the heavens, the one whose gift of love brings perfection and beauty. This kiss is for all the world. And this phrase in the poem and in the song, this phrase, this kiss is for all the world, that phrase inspired an Austrian painter named Gustav Klimt to try to capture that embrace, to try to capture that kiss which epitomizes this life-giving gift that is for all mankind. And Gustav Klimt, in a 6-foot by 6-foot painting, which he entitled The Kiss in 1908, he tried to capture that life-giving moment. And so Klimt's painting in 1908, which was inspired by Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in 1824, which was inspired by Schiller's poem in 1785, Klimt's painting called The Kiss in 1908 inspired a Syrian artist named Tamam Azam to create this in 2013. Tamam Azam in 2013 took Klimt's original painting, which is hard to see here, but it's beautiful and bright and gold, and it features a man lovingly embracing a woman, and there's flowers off to the side on the bottom. Tamam Azam, the Syrian artist in 2013, he took Klimt's painting, The Kiss, inspired by Beethoven, inspired by Schiller, and he overlaid that digitally upon a photograph of war-torn Syria, his home country. And he overlaid that embrace upon a scene of a war-torn building, a building that's been damaged and bombed out and shot up. And you can see that the image is sort of half in the darkness and half in the light. And this image, this taps into the same truth that the Beethoven performance showed us earlier. And this image is a powerful reminder for us and a visual representation of the reality in which we live. You see, our lives are war-torn. Our lives are war-torn. Our lives are shot through with loneliness. Our lives are barraged by transactional relationships where you have to prove your worth. Our lives are assaulted by advertisements which sow discontent every day. Our lives are riddled by political fear and 24-hour news and shooting after disaster after tragedy every day. Our lives are war-torn. But for those who have eyes to see, there is an inbreaking of beauty. For those who have eyes to see, there is an overlay of love. For those who have eyes to see, there is a cosmic embrace which transforms how we see our context, and it redefines the reality in which we live. See, God, without in the least bit minimizing our hurts or downplaying our fears, God speaks a word of love over us. God sings a song of love over us. God paints a picture of love over us. And God sends down his Son for us. And this is love. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, that's a weird word. Karen said it well. I'm not sure if she even knows what it means. Propitiation. If you're not familiar, you don't get a demerit or downloaded. And if you happen to know what it is, I don't care. You don't get extra credit. The word propitiation is a fancy Bible word, and it relates to the Old Testament word for atonement or atoning sacrifice. When you go, okay, sure. Well, what does that mean? Propitiation is the fancy word for the Old Testament imagery of atonement or to atone. And what does it mean to atone? To atone is to cover over. To atone is to cover over. Like when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and were hiding in shame and nakedness and fear, and God atoned for them. God provided clothing for them to cover over their shame, to cover over their fear. God atoned for their transgression and covered over what was wrong. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the one who would cover over our sins, to provide a fresh overlay for our sins. See, God doesn't wait for us to get our lives together. God doesn't wait for us to make this world somehow pure enough to deserve his presence. God doesn't wait for us to ascend to him on self-made ladder of happiness or holiness or healthy relationships or following a set of moral codes or even agreeing on what that moral code should be. Rather, God shows up like that conductor in street clothes and walks into the mess of our everyday lives. And without invitation or permission, he breaks into our busyness and gives us beauty. And as Jesus calls us to faith in him, he brings us out of our isolated and normal worlds into a communal experience of his grace. So that no matter the scars you bear, whether physically or emotionally or spiritually, no matter how close you are, even at 5:43 on Saturday, March 3rd, no matter how close you might be this evening to everything crumbling, all your plates that are spinning, everything that you are working so hard to keep it together, no matter how tenuous it might be at any given moment, but you make one wrong move and it all comes crashing down, no matter how close you are to that moment, or maybe that moment was yesterday. No matter how broken and shot up the world is when you look at it out there, no matter how broken and shot up the world might be when you look at it in the mirror, no matter what, God sent his Son Jesus down to embrace you, that you would be caught up in an infinite moment of beauty. Jesus' death on the cross that propitiation, that atoning sacrifice, that moment of covering over. Jesus' death on the cross is God's gift of love to you. And Jesus' resurrection on the third day, it's that solo stringed instrument that begins the song to which all other instruments and voices and creation itself will join in that great song, which will crescendo on the last day until world without end. And Jesus' body on earth, the church. Well, the church is that beat up building. It's beat up and it's broken down, but it is not abandoned. But rather, God has atoned for our brokenness. God has covered over our brokenness. God has sung over our brokenness. God has embraced us even in our brokenness. And this kiss is for all the world. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. You guys can make your way up here. But as they do, I want to give you a couple things to take away from this. Number one, I want you to have the eyes of faith that can see God's beauty even when the world is broken. To see that God's redemption is not contingent on the world or you or the people around you getting it together first. I want you to see beauty in the midst of even the brokenness. God's beauty has broken into our real lives right now, and His grace sings. I want you to, number one, see that beauty. And number two, when the conductor was conducting, do you see the kids in the video? Oh my gosh. I'm up here just like weeping in the front row, like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go talk in a minute. I want you, like those little conductors following the lead of the processional conductor, I want you to follow Jesus' lead, that you would go from this place to bring an unexpected glimpse of grace somewhere this week. Who's that person that you're going to run into tomorrow or in the middle of the week or at a meeting later this week? Who's that person who needs an interruption of beauty in their life that they haven't deserved, they haven't earned, but you can bring it? Where can you imitate Jesus, the conductor who shows up in street clothes in the midst of the mess and brings beauty? Where can you imitate Him so that someone else would have a fleeting glimpse? And they try to capture it with their phones, right? And that doesn't work at all. You have to experience it live. But where can you show that glimpse of beauty where they want to capture it? And maybe they don't ask you, where do you go to church? Or why are you so happy? Or what makes you so gracious? But you can just give them an unasked for gift of love and beauty. So as you think about how you have received that grace in Jesus, as you think about someone that you might give a glimpse of that to this week, our worship team's going to sing a song. And if you know the song, sing it. If you don't want to sing it because you don't like it, you don't know it, great. Let the words sink in and receive the gift of love that God has for you in Jesus. Thank you.
kind of want to marinate in that a little bit. I don't want to say anything. This kiss is for all the world. This gift of love that I pray has touched you tonight. It goes with you wherever you go from this place, but it echoes and reverberates through you in the same way that poem inspired, that symphony inspired, that painter inspired, that other painter, across the centuries, across languages, across countries, all the way to the Federal Way, Washington, and a Saturday evening. It continues to echo and reflect and shine and reverberate through you wherever God sends you. And so if you've caught a glimpse of that glory and beauty tonight, I pray that you wouldn't hold too tightly onto it, that you'd let someone else receive and experience what you freely received. As we wrap up our worship tonight, every worship service, for the most part, we close with a benediction. And that benediction, it means blessing, or it's a good word, is kind of the literal translation. In the benediction, God speaks a good word to us. And he uses broken people like me and you to speak that and to sing that to one another. And so I invite you to stand and to receive this word of benediction.